Studio 360.
Most of Colson Whitehead's novels are speculative fiction, the mega-genre encompassing sci-fi and fantasy and other non-realist fiction of various kinds. He won the Pulitzer Prize for The Underground Railroad, his great counterfactual historical novel about a literal Underground Railroad. But he sometimes writes fiction that is decidedly pulpier. In 2011, he published a novel about zombies called Zone One. And Zone One is not some postmodern take on the horror genre. It is smart and funny, sure, but it's also the real deal. Brains are eaten and the living go to war against the undead. When Zone One was just out, I asked Colson to join me for a live Studio 360 show.
So howdy. Zone One takes place after the end of the world. People are pretty much bummed out, more than usual. They're walking around with PASD, or post-apocalyptic stress disorder. And when they get really bummed out, they can look back upon last night, the last sane night in the world before everything became really horrible. And Mark Spitz, our protagonist, not the actual Mark Spitz, it's an ironic nickname in quotes, is thinking about his last night story. When he was six, he walked in on his mother giving his father oral pleasure. A public television program about the precariousness of life in the Serengeti, glimpsed in passing, had introduced him to dread, and it had been eating at him the previous few nights. Bad dreams, the hyenas and their keening. He needed to slip into his parents' king-size bed, as he had when he was very young, before he had been banished to his own big-boy bed in accordance with the latest child-rearing philosophies. It was forbidden, but he decided to visit his parents. He padded down the hall, past the green eye of the carbon monoxide detector, that ever-vigilant protector against invisible evil, and the bathroom and the linen closet. He opened the door to the master bedroom, and there she was, gobbling up his father. His father stopped his unsettling growls and shouted for his son to leave. The incident was never referred to again, and it became the first occupant of that corner in his brain's attic that he reserved for the great mortifications. The first occupant, but not the last. It was naturally to that night his thoughts fled when on his return from Atlantic City on last night, he opened the door to his parents' bedroom and witnessed his mother's grisly ministrations to his father. She was hunched over him, gnawing away with ecstatic fervor on a flap of his intestine, which, in the flicker of the television, adopted a phallic aspect. He thought immediately of when he was six, not only because of the similar tableau before him, but because of that tendency of the human mind, in periods of duress, to seek refuge in more peaceful times, such as a childhood experience, as a barricade against horror. That was the start of his last night story, Everybody Had One.
Colson Whitehead reading from his new best-selling novel, Zone One. Wow, Freud called it the primal scene. You have one-upped Freud.
Well, yeah, I mean, he didn't, I think, foresee the zombie epidemic or zombie plague. He was working with
one of his
had.
Many insufficiencies. Yes.
I guess I have that in my corner.
There you go. So you're a MacArthur Foundation genius, and now your characters are eating each other's colons. How did you end up writing a horror novel?
I didn't have much of a choice. I was a bit of a shut-in as a kid. Other kids like to go and leave their houses. I just spent my afternoons watching The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits and reading Stephen King. And until I got to college, I basically wanted to write The Black Shining or The Black Salem's Lot. If you took any Stephen King title and put The Black in front of it, that's what I wanted to do. So for me, I always knew I would write a horror novel eventually. And from watching zombie movies as a kid, I've had zombie anxiety dreams for the last 30 years. And I had one that led to the idea for this book.
Really?
Yeah, well, some normal people have anxiety, dreams about being late for an exam, or they haven't prepared for the big presentation.
No, the escaping thing I've had, but specifically escaping zombies?
Oh, yeah, that they're fast, they're slow, they talk, they get me, or I escape. So this is my life. And actually, since I've been on book tour, people have come up to me and said, like, I have zombie dreams, too. So maybe a support group is in order. But the idea for Zone 1 came because, I guess the summer of 2009, I had house guests out in Long Island. And the house has very thin walls, and you can hear everything that happens. So I woke up one morning, they were laughing and playing. And I was in a bad mood, and I just really wanted them to go. But you can't really say that to your house guests. It's a no-sex house, which I try to tell people before they come, because you can hear everything.
You can keep on your shoes, you can smoke, but just don't have sex.
Yes, the spare room is available. It's a no-sex house. If you bring corn, we'll put it on the grill. And so I heard them laughing, and I couldn't join in because I was sort of in a depressive episode, and so I willed myself back to sleep and had a dream that I was in Manhattan. That's why it was a dream, because I live in Brooklyn. It was a nightmare, and I wanted to go into the living room, but I wasn't sure if they had swept the zombies out. And then I woke up, and I was like, that's a real consideration. After the apocalypse, how do you get rid of the zombies? They stick around like bad house guests. And that became a book.
Gotcha. I remember a decade ago when my children were small, and just being amazed that they both, as 6, 8, 9-year-olds, completely were familiar with zombie protocol, like what killed them, what didn't kill them, how they lived, how they got that way. And I didn't understand how this information had propagated into my, you know, little kids' brains. Why did zombies, do you think, the last whatever decade or so become so interesting to them, to you, to the world?
Well, when I was writing the book 2 years ago, my daughter was like, I know zombies, I've seen Scooby-Doo. And she thought that I should title my book Awake of the Undead Army, which is, you know, a little longer than Zone 1. I can only talk about my weird orientation. And my interpretation of the zombie horror is that everything that you've suspected is true, which is that your friends, your family, and everyone in the community is a monster who wants to eat you. So they've been pretending for decades, biding their time, and then one day you wake up and they want to eat your face. So that speaks to my sort of Freudian troubles, I guess. And that's what animates my version of the zombie.
And voila, it's a bestseller.
Now that I guess I'm not alone.
There you go. Your parents let you watch George Romero? They let you do what you wanted in terms of cultural menus?
Well, if you allow your kids to go to Crazy Eddie's and rent the big stack of Betamax tapes every Friday, you won't have to talk to them. So... And we were allowed to see any kind of R-rated movie. I saw Clockwork Orange when I was like 10. And I remember, as a family, evening at home, and I remember being like, Mommy, what's happening? What are they doing to that woman? And her being like, it's a comment on society. And
had intellectual parents.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, it's during my work, and I think it helped, even though it was not particularly appropriate.
How about with your own kid who is 8?
She's 7. So,
yeah. Are there things you won't let her watch?
Well, I want to show her all the stuff I love, like Alien. I do want to show her Dawn of the Dead. So another 10 years for that. I try to stick with the herd in terms of like the Brooklyn parenting advice. I don't want to be stoned to death in the street. So that means not a lot of drinking while I'm pushing the stroller. So I'm trying to stick with the community standards.
That's Colson Whitehead. His next novel will be published next summer, and it's called The Nickel Boys.